So you are the author of this report, correct?
Yes, I am.
What is the big finding from the report?
Yes. So the finding from the report is that across the country, there are a number of states that are doing great work on advancing energy efficiency and clean energy policies. But there's a lot more to do in terms of increasing our commitment to having a policy basis that mandates that we reduce our use of energy and electricity, and that we increase our use of clean energy and wean ourselves off of the fossil fuel-based energy. Because as we found in our previous report, Cold-Blooded Putting Profits Before People, we found that unfortunately our current reliance on a coal-based electricity energy supply is harmful to communities. And that's really the impetus for doing the report, is that we really need to transition to reducing our use of energy and to making sure that the energy that we are using is clean, so it's safe and healthier for communities.
One thing that I saw kind of in the introduction is that 68% of African Americans live within a 30-mile radius with coal plants.
Right.
What does that mean, and what sort of impact does that have on African American families?
Sure. So it means that the 30-mile radius is considered to be, by the folks who know, the zone of impact in terms of where the air pollution and water pollution exists from the emissions that come from these plants. So basically the plants are putting off mercury, arsenic, lead, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, and of course carbon dioxide. And the communities that are within a 30-mile radius of those plants are more likely to feel the effects, which range from respiratory illnesses, heart conditions, nerve damage, birth defects, and so forth. And we see how that plays out in terms of statistics around elevated asthma rates, for example, for African Americans. So African Americans children are three times more likely to go to the hospital for asthma attacks and twice as likely to die from asthma attacks, just as one example. We also see higher rates of lung disease, but lower rates of smoking. So one can only look at the environment to see the sources of these higher rates of lung cancer, and certainly at the environment in terms of the higher rates of asthma attacks.
So I read the parts specifically to Missouri. Missouri has a renewable energy standard, but you want it to be increased by 2025, and you also want a more robust energy efficiency program. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so we want the renewable energy portfolio standard to be at least 25% by 2025, meaning 25% of the energy that is used in Missouri comes from clean sources of energy. We want the reduction of energy usage to be at least 22% over each year's previous retail electricity sales, and that each of those policies should be mandatory as opposed to voluntary in terms of mandating that we have these changes.
The other thing that I saw as far as the recommendations was it mentioned that Missouri has pretty robust policy on minority-owned businesses, but it could potentially be better by notifying them of procurement opportunities and developing more training programs. Could you go into that a little bit as well?
Yeah. So it's one thing to have outreach to inclusion of minority business enterprises in industry or in economic opportunities, but without really being proactive and notifying the groups that these opportunities are available, just having them available isn't necessarily going to be enough. Also, because groups, whether it's women-owned businesses or minority-owned businesses, are often not necessarily in the mainstream of these business opportunities, there might be training necessary in order for them to gain the certain skills that they need to be competitive in the business opportunity realm. So
now these recommendations seem like good policy goals, but implementing them is kind of another story. It seems like they're going to require extensive changes to state laws. How do you think that comes about? Do you think that these are realistic things that can occur? Or is it going to just take a lot of advocacy among groups, individuals, companies to make it happen?
So we were very methodical about going through and looking, A, at the feasibility due to whether it's clean energy potential state by state, energy efficiency a potential, and we analyzed, you know, what the potential was, and based our goal making on a modest degree of the potential, which is much greater than the goals that we've set in terms of 25 by 25 and 2% annual reduction. So we actually set modest goals in that way. Then we actually went out and we found states that were that ran the gamut in terms of types of states and types of circumstances that were actually successfully implementing, so that we could have examples to uplift. So our entire compendium, so you have the Missouri report, but the reference report is our 559-page compendium. And in that compendium, states can go and see other states that have actually done this successfully and made this transition successfully, and they can replicate some of the methods that they use to do so.
The other thing is, it's pretty widely known fact that Missouri is very dependent on coal. And I'm guessing that the coal industry is not going to kind of go away without a fight. They're going to want to maintain their dominance as an energy source. Do you think it's a realistic possibility that, you know, Missouri transitions away from coal into renewable energy such as wind and solar in the next 10, 15, 20 years?
I do, actually. It's certainly not 100% in the next 10 years, but that's why we have 25 by 25, because we recognize that it is going to have to be a modest and gradual transition. But we already see that states and nations across the world are making this transition, because people do see this as a necessary transition, not only for the health and well-being of the communities and the workers who are affected by the pollution from these industries, but also the health and well-being of the planet upon which we all depend for our existence. And we see just from today's extreme storms that we're seeing an increase in these extreme weather events across the country. We're seeing an increase in wildfires and droughts and so forth. So we really do all have to recognize these changes that we have to make and make those transitions, or necessary transitions. So, but it is feasible, because other states have already, some states are now at Iowa, for example, I think is already at 40% renewable energy. So folks have already started to make this transition. I think it's feasible definitely for Missouri to make the transition in the next 10, 20, 25 years gradually. Again, not 100%.
Now, let's say that these goals are implemented. Let's say there's a higher renewable energy standard. Let's say that there's an energy efficiency program that's far more robust. How would that benefit the urban core and the African American community if those types of things occur? Would it mean, you know, more economic opportunity, lower utility bills, less pollution, or all three potentially?
Yeah, definitely all three, if implemented the way we want it to be implemented. So this is why we're very, very, very intentional about including, wanting to have local hire provisions and disadvantaged business enterprises as we make this transition for the economic opportunities. This is why we really do want to make this, reduce our use of energy and make this transition to the clean energy, because we've seen places where literally the day these plants stop spewing this pollution, the air quality changes literally the day of, because it's a direct factor of how much they're putting out there in terms of how poor the air quality is. So right away you see those health benefits in terms of fewer asthma attacks and fewer other challenges. So, and then certainly in terms of lower utility bills, there are different models where people are already seeing savings from this transition. The NAACP itself, our headquarters in Baltimore, Maryland, we actually did what's called a community energy purchase agreement. And we went in with a number of different organizations and individuals, put our electricity business out to bid. The suppliers came back, and we're now taking with their different quotes, and we're now receiving 100% of our energy from renewable electricity certificates for local and national wind energy, and we are saving 14% per year on our energy bills. So it is possible to, and all of our members are realizing the same level of benefits from that same community energy purchase agreement. So it's definitely possible to make this transition, have more economic opportunities, have better health, less pollution, and have lower bills.
And one of the things that Adolphus mentioned a few hours ago, that if more wind turbines get produced, or more wind farms get approved, those types of technologies and the mechanics of it would be produced maybe in cities like St. Louis and, right. and Kansas City, and that could mean more jobs, not only for African Americans, yes. but for everybody. Exactly. Is that also what you found as
Absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why we specifically even wanted to have the local hire provision piece in there, because we recognize that some of these towns that used to be manufacturing towns, we could actually bring manufacturing back to those towns and do it in a way that, you know, that increases the economic prosperity for the towns and its all of its residents, as well as saving our health and well-being and the planet. So, yes, that's absolutely part of it.
My last question for you is, we talked a little about state laws and regulations, and that's one end of the spectrum. But do you think that utility companies, and many of which, you know, may be open to these types of things and maybe not as open to these types of things, do you think that they will be receptive to the types of recommendations that you put into your report? And what kind of role do you think they play into implementing them?
So certainly we see utility companies and seeing the writing on the wall in terms of the need to make this transition, in terms of the public will starting to move towards the need to make these transitions. And you were seeing public utility commissions more and more. For example, in Georgia, the Public Utility Commission mandated that Georgia Power really make this change to clean energy. And so as utility companies, you know, have the interests of their company, of their customers at heart, they recognize the changes in the market, whether driven by driven by regulations that are coming down the pike from the coming under the Clean Air Act and otherwise. They're seeing that in some ways they have to move in this direction because that's the way that the industry is shifting because of a number of different forces. And so we are seeing more acceptance and more embrace. Definitely there's a number of them that certainly aren't dancing in the streets over it, but definitely we're seeing some folks who are making the transition. I think that'll increase, particularly as we make sure that there's ways that people can do this affordably because, you know, they are businesses after all, so they have to see the bottom profit.
And they have to be mindful that the world is truly smaller, and with the technological advances on the manufacturing side as occurring in China with respect to solar panels and things of that nature, you know, at some point in time, those facilities are going to be readily available in the U.S. and it's going to impact their bottom line.
Yes.
There's no way in the world that solar is going to become affordable that people are not going to take advantage of it.
Right.
And I think we're moving in that direction.
And for you, Adolphus, do you think that in 10, 15, 20 years, St. Louis will be kind of a mecca for renewable energy? Or do you think that there are things standing in its way to make that happen?
I think St. Louis can be. I think what we're doing with the over at Cortex and what we're doing as relates to the biosciences industry is moving to a point where now we're embracing all innovation. And I think we're going to see a lot of things come out of that format that's being developed over there. But I think even more important, what's going to happen beyond the shadow of a doubt, I never forget I was in a conversation with the division director for corrections of Missouri, and we was having the same conversation. And he basically said, I cannot switch over to solar right now because the panels cost too much. But if they were affordable, he would move the Department of Corrections over to solar energy because mm-hmm. they're spending a ton of money, of course, on energy to keep the prisons lit up and all the other things. So I think when you see users at that level looking to make the transition, wanting to make the transition, as they make it, everybody else is going to follow.